So did everybody have a nice Christmas? Yeah. I had fun. This is my mother-in-law and my brother-in-law and my niece and nephew and my sister-in-law. They came to visit us. It's the last thing. If it was the last thing they did in 2013, they were going to come and say hi. You know, thanks. Norma's got to come over and inspect Stephanie's house this week. That's what's going on, actually. Yeah. And Barb's been over there all week helping her get ready for inspection. And I've been working on our house. Yeah, it's like, you know, good time, though. Good time to rest. I asked Cliff, I said, what'd you do? He said, I rested. And I said, now, there's a smart fella, you know. I did not rest. I have been too busy, and now it's time to rest. Well, The message today comes from Luke chapter 3, and we're talking about John the Baptist, and this is what John, you know, was doing. John was calling people to change. And let me tell you, the hardest thing in the world to do, right, is to change. And we're approaching New Year's, and, you know, the cliche is to make a New Year's resolution. Here's the things I'm going to give up next year, or here's the things I'm going to change, And, you know, the difficulty of it is that change is hard. Change does not come. And I got to tell you that for me, as a pastor who cares about whether you're changing or not, it can be real disappointing to try to want people to change. Sometimes, you know, you say, man, I just want you to do better. I want you to be stronger. And you know, you get let down a lot because you're just hoping to see that change come about. And the message of John the Baptist was that, you know, it's time to change, right? And yet there's also a strength that's given to us that's beyond anything that the world has to offer. And that's what we're going to listen and learn about. You know, why is it that we're able to change? Why should we expect ourselves as God's people, as Christian people, why should we be able, you know, to look at ourselves and say, you know, indeed, you know, I can grow. I can become better than I am. And what maybe would stop us? So here's the word of the Lord from Luke. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went out into the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it's written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare you the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill will be made low. The crooked roads will become straight, and the rough roads smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. I mentioned to you the idea that John the Baptist is unique in all of human history as someone who was created for the very purpose of pointing out the Messiah. No other leader, whether it's a person that's, you know, a political leader or someone who is a spiritual leader, no other leaders had somebody come, you know, years before they stepped into office and say, let me tell you, he's coming. Let me tell you, that's the one. That's the one you need to look for, right? John the Baptist was given that call 700 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah is talking about this. It's in the, you know, the prophetic book of Isaiah. If you look back at that, those of us who love the Word of God, who believe God wrote Scripture from beginning to end, those of us who look into that, we can see that God had a plan that was developing over centuries. And 700 years before John the Baptist came, Isaiah was saying God is going to prepare the way for His Messiah. He's going to send a prophet, one crying out. He's going to make every valley exalted and every mountain will be brought low. In other words, he's going to make it so people can hear the message of the Messiah. And what's John's message? His message is it's a baptism in repentance. What does repentance mean? It means to change. It means to change. The very foundation of the gospel message is we must change. Anybody who thinks you're going to make it on your own, or you're going to figure it out through psychology, or you're going to figure it out through some other man-made philosophy, it's not going to work. The foundational need for us is to turn our hearts towards God and away from everything else. It's a call to quit trying to handle things yourself. Quit trying to do things yourself. Quit trying to, make it by your own will. I'll pull myself up by my own strength. No, that won't work. The call is to change. Now, what's interesting, the way, and I put that up there in Greek for you guys, because I know you love that. But I do that to remind me that it actually is it's a baptism in repentance into the forgiveness of sin. I want you to think about that. It's a baptism of change, okay, turning around towards forgiveness of sins. In other words, sometimes we want to say, okay, I'll be forgiven and then I'll change. And actually what this little line would say in effect is that I must have a desire to change before I can really even receive the gift of God, the forgiveness of Christ. I have to have a passion. So it never, sometimes we work it out backwards. We make mistakes and then we want forgiveness and then we think maybe change will come. But it's the opposite. It is, we want to do what's right. We want to be right with God. We want to follow God. We want to obey God. We want to be His people. And that's what leads towards forgiveness when we mess up. That's what leads to forgiveness. In other words, there's a passion, a desire to be God's person. That's what first needs to change, right? I mean, I pray that everybody in this room that's here, that we come to church or we worship God for one reason. We want to be right with God. We want to follow Him. We want to be accepted by Him. We want Him to be our Father, indeed. And so John, to gain a hearing from this lovely crowd, he wants to just make everybody feel comfortable and happy, and I want you to feel good about yourselves. You brood of vipers! It's like, you children of snakes. You children of snakes. What a way to begin a sermon. You children of snakes, right? Well, there's a reason why the people that he was talking to, the Jewish people, were a brood of vipers. They were children of snakes. They were not living according to God's truth. They weren't living according to the law and rule of God. They weren't looking for God. They weren't repentant. They weren't seeking God. They were under the sad impression that they knew God. They had God. I always warn you that, salvation is not something that you have in your hand, you put it in your pocket, and you just carry it around with you. It is a very active part of who you are, and it's about becoming and growing and being that person that God intended us to be from the beginning. So he literally calls them children of snakes. I think about, there's a lot of snakes in the Bible. This word is also used about the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jewish people, right? It's used about human beings just by nature, that we talk like snakes. In other words, we lie, we cheat, some bad things come out of our mouth. But there's that great serpent, Satan, the one in the garden that led to sin, that led to disobedience, willful disobedience of God. A desire to do what he said instead of what God said. That was the real choice, and that's what really makes you children of serpents. He told the Pharisees that they were children of the devil because they lied like he lied, right? What happened with these people is they heard a word of man. You see that in Isaiah. He said, these people draw near me with their mouths. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made only of rules taught by men. They had forsaken the reality of what God's word told them, the reality of change. You need to repent. You need to come to me. You need to move towards me and away from other things. And they got sold a bill of goods. They got told, oh, no, you're okay. All you have to do is go to temple, pay your tithes, and you're good. Right? That's what they were told. And the Pharisees, they were living a false religion. They're walking around saying, oh, I don't need a Savior. I don't need anybody to die for my sins because I'm already righteous. They were living a false religion. They were living in a way that was going to lead them towards wrath. So he says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? If we don't change, if we don't move towards God and away from ourselves, if we don't become more and more and more God's children, the only thing left for us is to be cast out, to be left behind, to be left out of the kingdom of God. He says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, you know, live a lifestyle that shows that you're moving towards God. Live a lifestyle that shows that you are obeying God, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. And the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. The idea of, you know, walking around saying, well, I'm okay. Why? Because I'm Presbyterian. I had a conversation with a couple of really nice Baptist people, and probably in the conversation they told me 10 times they were Baptists. And you know, that kind of thing actually irritates me a little bit, because it's like, you know, what does that mean? You know, what's the difference between a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Lutheran, a Catholic? Do you know? You know, most people don't know the differences. They don't know the theology of their own church, and they definitely don't know the theology of another church. And to be honest with you, there's no kingdom of Catholic, there's no kingdom of Presbyterian, and there's no kingdom of Baptist. There is a kingdom built upon the name of Jesus Christ. There's a kingdom of God. There's a kingdom of God. And that's what John is saying. He's saying, don't say to the Jewish people, I'm Abraham's kid, so I'm okay. You're not okay if that's what you're banking on, if that's what you think is going to work. No, what makes you okay is if you are transformed, made into the children of God, becoming His children. He's telling them, he says, listen, there's a judgment coming. The axe is already at the root of the tree. He's telling these Jewish people, he says, your whole world is about to come down. And it literally did. Within 70 years, there was no more temple. Within 70 years, there was no more priesthood. There was nothing left of it. All the things that they would have been trusting in, all the things that they would have invested their lives in, all the leaders would be gone, because the Roman Empire would wipe them out and disperse them to the wind. It was the judgment of God, we know that. But what's it say to us? The things that we're trusting in, the things that we're believing in, the things that we're holding on to, what's going to save me? What's going to make me God's person? What's going to help me to actually change? It shouldn't be just a relationship with a church, a facility, a pastor, a leader. It has to be deeper. It has to be bigger. It has to be more powerful. What's going to help us to be able to change? Well, the people ask him, like, what kind of change are you talking about? What are the things that we have to do? And he gives them some real basic, you know, principled ideas of character. He says, what do we have to do then? And John answered. He says, the man who has two tunics, he should share with the one who has none. And the one who has food should do the same. The tax collectors also came to be baptized and said, teacher, what should we do? He said, don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. And then some soldiers asked him, what should we do? And he replied, don't extort money, or don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Every one of these things are kind of general principled ideas of how you conduct your life, but every one of them call us to a character quality that is like our Father. God is a God of integrity. God is a God of compassion. God does not worry about, you know, grabbing things, because everything belongs to Him. There's a sense of grace. There's a sense of faith. There's a sense of trust. There's a sense of you know, godliness in these characteristics that he tells these groups of people as they're coming. If I were gonna you know, base it all up, or wrap it all up for us, I'd say, listen, it's about becoming wherever you are in life, however you're, you know, whatever your function, whatever your place, it's about becoming more and more like your Father. More and more a person of integrity, or more and more a person that's not greedy, or more and more a person that has, you know, compassion for people. More and more and more like our Father. And I tell you, as we started out, you know, are you going to do that on your own? Are you gonna be able on your own strength, on your own wisdom, on your own meditation, become, not do things, but become more and more like God in character and quality of life? You know, again, too many times we think of Christianity or walking with God or doing something, right? I did this, so now I'm done. No, it's not about doing something and now you're done. It's about doing something because of who you are and being something, not doing something, not checking things off a list. It's about being something. We can't do that. We can't change that depth. We're talking about getting deep down into who we are. We're talking about, you know, heart, soul, mind, strength, everything that we are being transformed. I mean, come on, let's face it. We can't lose the 5 pounds, 10 pounds, or whatever we need to lose, you know. If it were up to us, it wouldn't get done. And we're talking about, you know, a total transformation of who we are. We need help. We need help. The people were waiting expectantly. They were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered him, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. Here's the thing, you know, we need help. We need help. If we don't get help, we're going to be in serious trouble. This winnowing fork and the threshing floor, it is a very clear picture of that time of what God is going to do. You would have a flat stone pavement and you would throw all your wheat on that pavement. You just scatter it out and then you'd run over it with sleds and it would separate the wheat from the shuck, from the outside, right? The husk. And then they would take a fork and they'd stick it in. They make piles. They stick the fork in there and they'd throw it up in the air. And as the wind blew, it blew away everything that wasn't wheat. And you do that all day. And you just throw that up. And as the day goes on, at the end of the day, you end up with good, eatable, bread-making wheat. And all the junk is gone. What's he saying about Jesus? Jesus is coming to clear the floor. Jesus is coming. He's looking. He's not going to let what's unacceptable into the kingdom. He's not going to let those who haven't repented, who haven't changed, who haven't called on the name of the Lord, those who have not taken everything that God has given us to be his people and gone on their own way, those folks are not going to get in. They're not going to be acceptable to him. He's looking for those who have called on the name of the Lord, sought the Lord, and desired to know the Father. Heart, soul, and mind to be God's people, to be God's children. But he didn't leave us on our own. We need help, right? How are we going to do that? How are we ever going to have this great transformation that takes us from being something that has to be cast out to being something that gets brought in and kept and cherished and loved? It's Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ. He says, you know, they were wondering, John, you're this great prophet. We have never seen anybody like you. Never took a drink, never cut his hair. A Nazarite from birth, out in the wilderness, separated from the world, proclaiming a word that people had never seen or heard before. And they said, man, you are something different. You're not like anybody we ever met. You're unique in all biblical history, John. You're the one, right? And he says, I'm not even worthy to touch the toes of the one. I am not even worthy to unlace his sandals. I'm not worthy to be in his same, you know, sphere. He is unique. He is powerful. He is more awesome and more strong and more of everything. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Jesus the Savior. Jesus the one who would die for our sins and raise for our righteousness. Jesus the one who would send you the Holy Spirit, the power of God to live in you. And to help you in every decision you make. Help you in your heart. Help you in your mind. Help you in your soul. Help you to become that person of God. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. We believe in change. we all know we need to change. One of the worst things that we can do is become complacent in our change and say, okay, I've got it, I'm good. I know you ain't. Don't even pretend. Don't even go there. No. No, we don't want to ever become complacent as though we're finished. We're not finished. The last breath I take, I guess that's when I'm done. I've done as much as can be done. Don't get complacent in it. Don't think, well, because I've done this or that. Don't do it. Keep your relationship with God alive, living, calling on Him, listening to Him, following Him. It needs to lead us to our Father. Any change that leads us, you know, there's so much in religion about building buildings and doing things that have nothing to do with our character, nothing to do with who we are. We need to be really careful how we practice church, how we practice religion, that it's about becoming God's children. I want to be like my Father. If I'm going to move into His house, don't you think I need to be like Him? You know? And we can't do that by ourselves. If we're not calling on Jesus, God, you know, God gave us the Lord Jesus Christ for that very purpose. He didn't give it to us to make ourselves popular or famous or big or rich. He gave it to us so we could be His children, so we could be adopted into His family, so we could live with Him. He gave us the Lord Jesus Christ and all the power invested in that name for us to be changed, to be saved, to be His. I thank God that He gave us power to change. I thank God He gave us more than just my own willpower. I do. I thank God that He gave us the Spirit, the Word, and most importantly, our Savior Jesus Christ, for a purpose of helping us to become different. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. And Father, we do. We come to You and we ask in Jesus' name that You would help us to know the things in our lives that You want to change, the things in our hearts that are not like You, that we can continue to be transformed, as Your Scripture says, from glory to glory until we take on the very image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that if we tried to do this by any other means, we would fail. But Jesus is powerful, Jesus is able, and we call upon His name to help us become Your people. In Jesus, we do thank You and pray. Amen. So Matt, you have that back for the last song.
burden share, none but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, a time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our dear Savior. Again, Father's praying for us even at this moment. Mm. He said in his word, what is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul?
Yes.
So, Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us again. Help us to walk with you, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Mm-hmm. We ask this for your glory, and in Jesus' name, we thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Make sure you say five about 10.